Just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. Yeah, good morning. So, this past week with the passing of Chris, my mind was just thinking of eternity. And, but my thoughts were, so the last hour of a person's life, those last moments of a person's life, what, nobody has come back to tell us what that's like. So when the body, when the mind, when the heart, when there's the transitioning that's happening, so we have things in this life, and they're good things. We have things in this life that are kind of, they just kind of pull us, hold on to us. In this earth, we have our children. They're great things. We love our children. We have our spouse, our wives, and we love them, and we want to be with them. Well, are we really desiring to go? We have our occupations, our jobs. We have church. Look forward to church events, and just the next. But when we get to that, when we get to the last hour of a person's life, when the sand is trickling, it's almost gone. I was just thinking, what is that like? When the testimony of Chris there, when you start to see a light, and you start to quote scripture, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd," and you start to maybe recognize people that I don't know how that is. I was just pondering on that. What is that like? When we actually start to see that, the pull that this earth, this life has, and yeah, I don't know. I'm just thinking, is it when we get to that point? Is it, wow, what am I missing? What was I thinking? I don't know what that's like. That was just something I was pondering on this past week with the testimony of Chris there. Let's bow for prayer. Eternal Father, Lord, as we are here yet again on a Sunday morning, Lord, a day of worship, Lord, I thank you for the words that was brought to us by the brothers already this morning. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you will use me, Lord, just use me as a vessel. Just to share the things that you've done in my heart, my life. Just help me, Lord, just to bring whatever you have for us today, Lord. Father, I pray that you will edit the words, edit the thoughts that I have. Just be with us here, Lord. We invite your Holy Spirit. Commit the rest of this day into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Brother Leroy, a few weeks ago, he brought a wonderful, beautiful greeting. He personalized it. And I want to echo that greeting, but just it's found in Colossians 1. And I'll paraphrase it just a little bit. Colossians 1, verse 1 and 2. I'm going to make it personal. I think I was thinking of like our relationship with Jesus Christ. If we don't have a personal relationship with him, we don't know him. So if we can take the scripture, we can take the verses from the Bible and put our name in the place, put our church there, it personalizes it. It has a deeper effect. Jason, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints and brethren in Christ, which are at Abundant Life Christian Fellowship. To the saints and brethren and the faithful in Christ, which are at Abundant Life Christian Fellowship. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I greet you in that name this morning, the name of Jesus Christ. I do just greetings to the visitors. Some of my family's here. Thank you for coming. And I'm not sure who you are, but thank you for coming and enjoying the day with us. So just a question that I would have here before I begin is, if I could tell you that we could go through this life and not have to worry about things, not have to hold on to fears, doubts, anxiety. If I could tell you that if you're in bondage to sin, that you don't have to be in bondage, you can be guilt-free. If I could tell you that you can have that this morning, would you believe me? Just something that we would think about as we go through this message. So the message that I have is, it's found in Matthew 11, verse 28. You can turn there. I would give a title. The title of it would be simply just what it is. It's the great invitation, come. It's the great invitation, come. It's the greatest invitation that I ever known that ever existed. It's the great invitation, come. So, we'll read some of these scriptures here. I think we'll start in verse 25. And that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And then he says these words, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The first word that Jesus opens there, he says in Matthew 11, verse 28, he says, come. And when I was thinking about this here, I just picture him, he's standing there with his arms open, a smile on his face, and he's saying, come. He's not going to reach out and pick us up and pull us along. He's inviting us to come. That's how I picture that. Jesus is just standing there with his arms open, his maybe a big smile on his face, and he's inviting us to come. So when we're going through here, there's 3 points that I'd like to get, and that's number one is the invitation. And point number two is the invitation for what? And point number three is the result. So point number one, I already gave that example, is to come. He has his arms out. Just picture that. He has his arms out. He's saying, come. And some thoughts I was having is, have you ever faced discouragement? I'm asking a question. Or am I the only one? Has any of you ever faced discouragement? Jesus says, come. What about just going through maybe a trial in your life? You can put your own, whatever you're facing there. Maybe it's something that you're facing right now. I know I faced many, many challenges and trials. But have you ever faced that in your life, or am I the only one? I believe every one of us had that. And that's the invitation is for that. Come. What about a temptation to sin? This is talking to us Christians. A temptation to sin. Or am I the only one? This is the invitation. It says, come. What about if you have never surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Maybe you're stuck in bondage. I was just thinking back of my own life, just stuck in bondages to many sins. Maybe you're stuck in that bondage of sin and guilt. You have no way out. You don't know how to get out. This invitation is for that person. Come. Every soul. It's the greatest invitation. So a lot of these thoughts that I'm going to be giving is, I was referring to the Strong's Concordance, and I find a lot of definitions from there. And so the word here, the word come, it gives two definitions. It says to come hither. It says to come hither. And another word is to follow. He says to follow. And I was thinking about that, and that when you take those words, it's strong, it sounds strong. It sounds like a command. To me, that sounds like a command. It is a command. It is a command. Some thoughts I was thinking is on that this command, do we hear the Master's command? Do we have our ears bent and we're listening? We hear that still small voice? How closely? I'm challenging myself. How closely do we listen to the command, to His voice? Are we listening intently? Have our ears tuned? Or are we responding to the wrong commands? Those voices of this life that want to pull us this way and pull us that way, are we responding to the wrong commands at times? Children, when your parents say, go pick up the toys, do you hear them? You have your ears tuned to that? Yes, Daddy. What about, I was thinking of this comparison, what about if I don't know if you have chickens, but what about if your daddy or your mommy say, son, daughter, go get the eggs. Did you hear that the right word, or did you hear, go get the sled? Are you responding to the wrong commands? So just, that's my encouragement to the children, is just to listen to your daddy and your mommy. Listen closely. So there was this master. He had some sheepdogs. And in this example, this is a true story. I've seen this a while back. He had some sheepdogs. He had two sheepdogs in this illustration here. And so what he was going to do is he was going to test his sheepdogs. So he took these sheepdogs and he took them out in the pasture on top of the hill. And over yonder, you could see all the sheep. Big flock of sheep out there. So what he was doing is he put them over here. There's two commands that these dogs are trained. Sheepdogs are specifically trained this. I never knew this until I looked this up. One command is the word come by. And that means to go clockwise around the sheep. Another command is the word away. And that means to go counterclockwise around the sheep. So they're listening very intently to these commands. So what he would do, hope I don't make myself sound silly, but what he would do is he would stand there and he's watching his dogs, and his dogs were sitting there watching him. They're just watching intently, and he would go, car! You'd see them, they would move a little bit, but they would just stop. Then he would say, Kadishis! He was testing them. He did this several times. Then he would say, come over! They would jump a little, and they're just sitting there watching this master. But then he would say, come by! And they would go. They're listening very, very closely to the command, the right command of the master. I thought that was a great example of myself, us. When the Holy Spirit speaks to us, when Jesus Christ speaks to us, maybe through His Word, maybe through the preaching, maybe through a brother or sister, do we hear? How closely are we listening? How intently are we listening? So when we come, the invitation is to come, but when we come, what are we coming to? What are we coming to? And that's simple. It's simply the cross of Jesus Christ. It's simply coming to Jesus Christ. So the invitation is to come, and whatever that is, we talked about that, discouragement, worry, fear, sin, whatever that is, it's to come and to bring that to the cross of Jesus Christ. And Jesus wants us to, he wants us to bring that and to lay it there and to give it to him, to leave it there. So I went outside and I just found a little rock. And we'll talk about this later. But just picture this here. This is what happens a lot of times. So we hear the voice of Jesus. We hear the command. He says to come. Okay, we're worrying about something. We're facing maybe a challenge. And he says, come, bring that to me. So we come and we say, yes, Lord. And we leave it there. You can have it. I picture this here that he bends down and picks it up and he's carrying it. He's going to carry it. But what happens is we walk away. Maybe that same day, maybe that same week, that same thing comes back. We go back over there and we pick that thing up and we put it right back in our backpack and we continue to carry it. But that's not what he wants us to do. He wants us to bring whatever that is, to put it at the foot of the cross, to give it to him, and to leave it there. To leave it there. And I know I fail in this. But this has been a challenge to me, just to think of these things. So whatever that is, he wants us to leave it there at the foot of the cross. So you read, it says, come unto me, all ye that labor. Who is this invitation for? It says all. If you look up that word all, that is describing every soul that ever walked the face of this earth. And so easily we can think, oh, it's for a certain culture of people, or it's for a certain denomination, it's for a certain race of people. But it's for every soul that walked the face of this earth. And just a challenge for us is Dale Heisey gave us a word. He said, if we can picture, we see a person with tattoos, earrings, dreadlocks, you name it. Just put that image however you want in your mind. If we can just picture that person, how Jesus Christ intended them to be. How he intended them to be, and not how we see them. But this invitation is for all, every individual. It's for the unbeliever, the sinner. It's for the believer. It's for the Christian. It's for whosoever will. Whosoever will. So we go to point number two. It's the invitation for what? It's come unto me, all ye that labor. This word labor here, some of the definitions that it gives, it says to work hard, to toil, to grow weary, or a wearisome toil. This labor here is not describing, it is not describing our physical labor. It's not describing when we go out to the job site and we physically are laboring. This labor is for the Christian. This is describing a Christian in every stage of the Christian walk. That's what this labor is referring to. It's describing a new convert. I'm a six-year Christian. I don't feel like I am... I feel like I'm the new convert. But I remember if we all were take our thoughts back to that right at our conversion, maybe a month, couple months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, and we were working hard. You remember that? How you're on fire and you're witnessing to every person that you meet. You're on fire for the Lord. Your Bible study is just alive, and then somehow we kind of slip away, it seems. I find that in my life. But this invitation is for that person, the new convert. It's to come. Come to the Word. And I was thinking of in 1 Peter 2, it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. And Jesus says to come. Come to me. Come to the Word. If you have a hunger, thirst, you should be filled. This invitation is for that person, that the new convert that is working hard. It's also describing I'm going to use the word, weathered Christian. So some of you are 20-year Christians, and I could view you as weathered Christians. Those that have labored in the Word for many years. But you could probably take and look at somebody that's 40-year Christian, and you say, that person is a weathered Christian. But this invitation is for, it's this labor. The word labor here is describing all walks of a Christian life. It's describing a weathered Christian, a person that is toiling. He gives the definition here of to grow weary. I'm sure, and I find that already in my own life, that sometimes you just hard to get up, and that desire to get up and to study. Or where's my heart? Where's my focus? We grow weary, a wearisome toil. And Rebecca's not here, but I was thinking of her. That she is an example of a weathered Christian. She has walked many years as a Christian. And I'm sure you know, but I'm sure that she faces many days that are difficult. But this invitation is still for her as well. It does not matter what walk of life, where we're at in our Christian walk, but this invitation is to come whatever we have, wherever we are, we're at. John 6:35, it says, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And if we're toiling in this walk, Jesus says to come unto him. He says, I am the bread of life, and you will never hunger. You will never desire. He'll change our desires. We won't be desiring those hungering after those worldly things. We're in this life. But I was thinking that if we're feeding on that life-giving bread, Jesus promises us life. But the reality is that we are living in this is Satan's footstool, this earth. This is his footstool, and we're living here, but we're of another kingdom, but we're toiling here. And the reality is that Satan will never give up. He will come at us daily, daily. He'll try us in various ways, maybe through the temptation, maybe through just facing discouragement, worry, doubts. Maybe we have doubts of our assurance. Maybe through in our homes, challenging, raising children. He'll try it in all areas of this walk. But I was thinking of this here. Sometimes we can think that we may be the only one that's facing whatever we're facing. But Jesus cares. Jesus cares because he knows. Because he personally knows. Jesus cares because he knows. And I'll paint a picture here. This is my own thoughts gathered from different people, but so I just picture, so we have the people in the old covenant, under the old covenant law. I picture that God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son, they're here in heaven and they're looking down on these people, and they bring the sacrifice, and then they go and they fall again, and then they're bringing another sacrifice, and then they're watching, they go and they stumble, they fall again. And I just picture that God the Father, he's sitting there with the Son, and he's looking at this, and he got tears coming down his face, and he's saying, Son, what can I do? What can I do for these people? He's just looking at these people, and tears are coming down his face, and he's saying, what can I do for these people? And then you have the Son. Daddy, I'll go. Can I go down there? God, Son? Daddy, I'll go down there. I'll die for them. I'll make a way. But Daddy, will you allow me to be tempted in all areas as they were? He knows. Jesus knows because he was here. He felt it. Daddy, will you allow me to face everything that they get to face? It's personal. He knows. He was here. He wanted to come willingly. When I was thinking of that, of just those thoughts, to be truthful, it was emotional just to think of that. That Jesus Christ willingly wanted to come and make a way for you and I. All of us. Each one of us. He willingly wanted to come and do that. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. This word, heavy laden here is describing to be weighted down, to be carrying something. We're carrying something. Just picture that. It's a load, a burden. It is a weight, anything pressing on one physically. It could be, I was thinking of the unconverted. If we're unconverted and we have that weight of sin and guilt pressing down upon us, it's the heavy weight, we're carrying something, it's a load. Anything pressing on one physically. I think it was Justin Brandenburger that had that illustration a few months ago at the Allen County. He had the backpack, the children's lesson, and he had the backpack, and just picture that. He had this backpack on him, and that's how it is. I found this stone out there. I could have brought a big rock, but I think this is how it is. It's just those little weights that we carry around. It could be worry, and we didn't leave it there at the cross. We put it right back in our backpack. Maybe it's, yeah, there's many things, but I want to be conversational here. So I would like to get some examples from you. What are some weights? What are some weights that we may face in this life that we would carry around in that backpack? What are some of those weights? Just just share whatever, if whatever you, whatever you feel. Anybody have anything? Doubt, fear.
Anger.
What is it?
Anger.
Somebody said discouragement. Is there any others? There's a ton of them.
Pride.
Pride. That's good.
Anxiety.
Envy and frustration.
That's good.
Bitterness.
That's a big one. Yeah, there's, I'm sure there's many, many, many more. Huh?
Fear of man.
Fear of man, yeah. Yeah, you shared a lot of those things. Fear that I was thinking about, anxiety, worry, grief, maybe a loss. There's been a grandpa, a dad, a father that passed away, grief, sorrow. But whatever that is, whatever that weight is that we're carrying, the invitation is to come, to bring it to the foot of the cross, and to leave it there, and to let Him have it. So now let's flip that around, and let's, What are some opposites? What are some examples where we can replace? How could we replace fear, anger, discouragement, pride? What? How could we replace those things? What are some of your thoughts we could replace those with?
Faith in God.
Faith in God. There you go. Any others? Doing good to others? Revile when reviled, not again, right?
Intentional thought patterns.
Our thoughts. Yeah, I had some thoughts. I mean, there's many. There's none that are wrong. So if we're worrying about something, or let's say we're angry, try to sing when you're angry. So we replace anger with singing, and that will replace it. That will replace it. But I was just thinking of, you have singing. Constant singing, just making a melody unto the Lord. Just, I know we don't go always singing, but just having that singing spirit, that singing heart, praying, devotional, personal devotion time. That's something I've been really working on this last couple of months, is just to find that personal devotion time. And my time is in the morning, to where I can just, I can read, study, and pray. Pray personally. Just keep your hearts full of the Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever that weight is, take it, bring it, and replace it with something. Something of the Spirit. Just a thought. A worrisome fear is not of Jesus, but only Satan's attacks on us spiritually. A worrisome fear is not of Jesus, but it's only Satan's attacks on us spiritually. So I was thinking another example of this heavy laden, the word heavy, it gives the example of grievous. It's these commands of the Lord that are grievous, it seems like they're a burden to us. 1 John 5:3 says that we keep His commandments and that His commandments are not burdensome. And I was just thinking of my life. Before I was a Christian, I thought these people that are Christians, what are they thinking? I thought, that's such a hard life. Why would you want to live that life? Just be free and just go do what you want. But when we're on this side, His commands are not burdensome. They're a joy. To follow Jesus Christ, it's a joy to follow Him. They're not grievous. They're not a burden. So if you have never made that choice, I would advise to make it. It's the best choice that you'd ever make. So point number three is the result. And this gives... It says, Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And this gives the example. I have a sub-point here, sub-point 1, sub-point 2. But this word, I'm not going to try to pronounce it in Strong's. It signifies to give intermission from labor, to give rest, refresh, or to refresh so as to recover strength, or to take ease. This rest is describing that. And I was just thinking of this, when I was picturing this here, how this is describing that is, it's almost like Jesus is saying, quote unquote, take a vacation from your burden. But Jesus is, this here is not saying, just whoosh on out somewhere, wherever you want to go. Jesus promises long-term rest. He's promising long-term rest. This rest that He's describing here is it's not what I just described there a little bit ago, as far as you bring that, you give it to Christ, and then you walk away, you have a little bit of rest, but then you take it and you pick it back up. Jesus is promising long-term rest. He wants us to take whatever that burden, He wants to take it away. But He does not promise, in this situation, He does not promise that maybe you're facing something, every situation will just go away. And I thought of my son. With him being adopted, I trust, I gave that to the Lord, and I said, you know, we said, here you go, we trust that you will have your way with this. But does that mean that he just won't ever be adopted? The fact that he is adopted will always be there. It will always be there. So he'll give us rest in that situation. He doesn't promise he's just always going to take the situation away, whatever it shall be. But he will help us to walk through that. We may have health struggles. There's many, many scenarios that we may face that Jesus will help us through. Jesus wants us to be renewed, be revived, to recover completely. That's what He's telling us. He wants us to be renewed, be revived, and He wants us to recover completely from that rest, or from that burden, whatever we're facing. This rest that's describing here, it's not found in circumstances. I was talking to somebody yesterday, I said, what gives you joy? What brings joy in your life? And he said, he named off all these worldly things. Well, when the sun's shining and I'm healthy and I'm this and I'm that. He gave all these definitions of things here. That's when he's joyful. And I just want to explain that this the joy that you can have, it doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't. I said, what about if you get up, it's storming outside, you're not feeling well, you go out to leave your tires flat, and there was many other examples that we talked about. He's like, yeah, that's right. But that's what he's talking about here. Like, it does not matter what we face. We can still have that joy that's within it. That's from Christ. We can still have that. It doesn't matter what the world outside looks like. Subpoint number two on to find rest. It signifies to cause or permit one to cease from any labor or movement so as to find rest. And just some very practical examples. Some to you sisters, mothers, wives. What can you do to find rest? Just what I thought about is maybe because your days are hard, toiling behind the scenes. There's many things that you wives, sisters, mothers do that us husbands probably don't ever know or see. But just something that you could probably do is just call another sister and say, you know, sister, tomorrow let's take our children and let's go to the park. And we're going to spend the entire day there. We're going to spend the entire day there. And take a picnic snack with you. But the thing is this, don't go there finding rest. Encourage one another. Don't go there talking about the things that you have to do at home. You won't have rest. You won't find rest. It signifies to take rest. Husbands, fathers, what can we do at times? We toil daily, work hard. There's many examples I'd like to hear from you later, but one thing I thought about is just tomorrow I'm going to take off. I'm going to take my family and I'm going to go to the zoo. And I'm going to spend the entire day there. We just find a joyful rest. But I don't go there to the zoo with my family, pulling out my phone, checking work. Leave it at home. And so I would guard against the thoughts that I just gave. I would guard against always wanting to do things like that, always going on two-week vacations. I would guard against that. There was this man in Luke 12:19, and I'm going to paraphrase it a little bit. Very foolish man. He says, and I will say to my soul, I have all these things that I have. I will say to my soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He was trying to find rest. He had all these things, but we know what happened. We know what happened to that man. It was not a good end for that man. So we must guard against those things. I encourage them, but we must guard against just always, always, always. Does this rest assure that we will never face trials, discouragement, fears, doubts? No, it doesn't. It doesn't assure that we'll never face those things. But when we do face those things, that we have a promise. The invitation is there. We have a promise that we can bring it to the foot of the cross and we can find that rest there. So it's interesting, if you read, Lord willing, I'd like to have a part two someday, but if you read verse 29, there's two different rests that's described here. Verse 28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Verse 29 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in your heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." There's two different rests that's described here. This rest in verse 28 is describing to take or to give. To take or to give rest. But in verse 29, it's describing to have rest. It's describing eternal rest. That rest that we find in Christ. It's eternal rest. So, I have some closing thoughts. So we have the invitation. What is the invitation? What was the invitation? Does anyone know? We have the invitation, and that's always going to be there. That will never go away. That invitation is always there. We have the invitation. And that's to come. We have Jesus tells us where we're coming to, and that's to him, to the cross. And he's saying who it's for. It's for every soul that ever walked the face of this earth. It's for each one of us in here, including myself. This invitation is for that person, each one of us. We have what it's for. It's for Christians that face challenges in life. It's for the unbeliever. It's for those heavy weights that we have. Just one little weight at a time that we put in our backpack. I was thinking of those weights. So most of you are familiar with wearing a nail bag. And if we get to the job site and we put on our nail bag, we have the essentials. We have our hammer, our tape, our knife. We have those essentials that we have. But then we decide that we're going to grab the saw and we're going to hang it on our nail bag. And then we decide, well, I'm going to need the spiker, and we put that on our back. Then we might need the sledgehammer, we put that on our backs. The level, you name it, we end up with like 25 different tools strapped to us. And then we go and try to walk through the job site like this, just weighted down. Just picture that. That's not what Jesus wants. But that's what these little weights do. These little weights, just one little weight at a time. Like if we just carry the spiker around, it's not so bad. But when we go and strap all those things on us, but Jesus did not intend it to be like that. He did not intend it to be like that. He wants us just to have the essentials, just what we need. The rest, you'll have it when you need it, in your timing. So we have those weights, and Jesus promises rest, the result. So my thought is, for a final question is, when Jesus says to come, how do we or how will we respond? How do we or how will we respond? When he says to come, if we have our ears tuned to his voice, how do we or how will we respond? And I'm going to use my son here again as an illustration. So there's four thoughts that I had. Ignore, stay, run, or fight. Ignore, stay, run, or fight. So just picture him over here. He's playing with his toys. And I say, come. What he does, he hears my voice, but he does not move. He continues to play. He simply ignores my voice. Another example to stay, I say, come. He stops for a second. He looks at Daddy. And then he turns and continues to play. He ignores and he stays right there. He doesn't make any effort to move. Another example, I thought that this could be just picture this as our Christian life, our walk. I say, come. He looks up, he hears my voice, he looks up, he smiles, he gets up, and he runs the opposite direction. He runs the opposite direction. How often did we do that in our life? We hear that command, but we run the opposite. We tend to run and hide. Another thought I had was to fight. And there's maybe times where I go and I desire to pick him up, to carry him. And he knows that Daddy is not going to hurt him. He knows that Daddy's going to carry him. But he does not want to be carried. He fights. He kicks on the floor. How often do we do that, or did we do that in our life? When we hear that, I was thinking of when I was in bondage to alcohol, I remember when that desire came, I would hear the voice. I would hear the voice of God. It says, pray that you would take this desire away. And I knew that he would. I knew it. But I fought it so hard. I knew that he would want to carry. He wants to carry me up out of that bondage. But I fought it so hard. So how do we respond? How will we respond to the voice of Jesus Christ when he says to come? So that's all I have. I trust that you were blessed. I know I was. This past week was busy. Very busy. Somebody asked me, probably not a good week for it, for this message, and I said, absolutely, it's the perfect week for it. Because it brought me to that. It doesn't matter what I'm going through, the busyness of life, the invitation is still to come. And you will find rest. And I could say that he was there for me. So, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you.
Amen. Thank you for all you shared this morning. It truly was a blessing.